The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
A lot of people might start this kind of thing off by saying, "I can't tell you where I work." No, forget that. I work at Primrose Financial, and I've been working there for most of my professional career. We mostly deal in insurance, although we provide financial solutions for just about anything. Banking, trading, mortgages, investments, you name it. I've poured my blood, sweat, and tears into this company. I've worked myself raw to climb the corporate ladder, and you know what? I don't think I'm a prick for wanting to make it to the top. Primrose Kennard has been sitting pretty up there for long enough, and you know what? Screw Kennard. If you want to look on our website, it would say that she took control of our operations in 2008 from her mother, who just so happened to look exactly the same as her. Nobody with a brain was fooled by that little stunt. Oh no, we all knew something was up. It's just that nobody important had the balls to ask. And the unimportant people who did got shushed. Personally, I figured it was just Kennard's trying to keep up the appearance of being young. I don't know how old she is. She looks like she's in her 30s, but there's no way in hell she's really that young. As far as I can tell, she's been officially in charge of Primrose Financial since the 80s, although the name Primrose Financial only popped up sometime in the 50s. Considering how much nepotism there is in the company, I absolutely believe that it was named after her. That said, I always figured that if Kennard's been around since the 50s, then she looks great for a lady pushing 70. 70 is still pretty old, though. I'd have said it was old enough if you asked me yesterday. I would have said that I didn't care what kind of messed up anti-aging spell she's done. That witch should have retired ages ago. Yeah, that's what I would have said. Look, I've done pretty well. I'm in my 40s, and I've had a good career. I'm about as close to the top as one can get in a company like Primrose Financial, and if it weren't for one very old witch sitting in my way, I'd probably be running the show. My wife always said that the only good thing Kennard could still do for the company is either retire or croak. And I agreed with her. My wife's a girl with expensive tastes. Everything I've done to keep her happy, and I was tired of letting her be married to a guy who played second fiddle to some crazy old witch who hasn't aged in 5 years. So I figured I'd help nature take its course. I asked Kennard if she had some time that evening to go over a U.S. expansion proposal. She'd been really interested in the Vegas area lately, primarily because she liked making excuses to go on expensive vacations. I made some ridiculous tweaks to a plan she'd come up with to open up some branches in the Vegas area, amongst other places. I called her personal line to get past her secretary, who I'm 90% sure she mostly kept around as eye candy. I wasn't all that shocked when Kennard was enthused by the idea and asked me to pop up to her office at 7, after hours. I couldn't have possibly asked for a better window. If anyone asked, my wife was going to say I was at home that evening. I even made a show of leaving the office at 4 and coming back in while others were leaving. I wore a hat so the cameras wouldn't catch my face as I took the elevator up to the top floor. I had the gun in my jacket pocket. Kennard was something of an exercise nut, but I figured I could overpower her and make it look like a suicide. How tough could she really be? Kennard's office took up the entire top floor of our building, and I think I'm being generous when I call it an office. The word palace or museum would have been more fitting. The elevators opened on the hallway decorations with various statues that looked like they were relics. They were lit like they were in a museum and always gave me the creeps. Kennard always said she was an archaeological buff, but I had no idea where in the world those statues had come from. They depicted various grotesque creatures with too many legs. They kind of looked like those centipedes you see sometimes with a very, very long legs. Those things always creeped me out. The door at the end of the hall was a reddish mahogany with a gold inline. I opened it slowly into her secretary's office. The secretary in question, Miss Crowley's desk, was stationed by a glass wall that looked into what looked more like a museum or a library than an office. I'd been hoping that she'd have gone home for the night, but no such luck. Elena Crowley was typing away at her laptop and barely paid me any mind. Still, the fact that she'd seen me wasn't good. I caught myself panicking a little. I almost called the whole thing off right then and there. I really didn't want to have to kill her as well. Crowley was jaw-dropping. I wasn't too into the whole goth chick vibe, but hey, I can't complain either.
Miss Kenway is expecting you, Mr. Stevenson.
Of course. Thank you, Miss Crowley.
Is there anything you need before you go in? I'm about to head out for the night.
Oh, thank God. She was leaving. She offered a pleasant but insincere smile that I only barely managed to return. No, you can head home. I won't be long, I said. Then I went towards the glass door and stepped inside Kennard's office. Stone tablets depicting more twisted monsters decorated the walls, and there were more of those messed up ancient statues lying around. I could see some scattered bookshelves as well, although just what kind of books she'd put on them were beyond me. I made my way through the small hallway and rounded the corner to her office proper. The Toronto skyline dominated the view out of her window, backlit by the twilight sky. Kennard herself was standing by her desk, smoking a cigar. I could see a bottle of half-empty red wine on her bar with two glasses poured, waiting for us.
"Evening, Brad," she said. Her tone was condescending. I hated it.
"Primrose," I replied. "You look well."
"Thank you. I was hoping you don't mind, but I was in the mood for a nightcap. Figured you'd join me."
She looked over her shoulder at me, a wry smile on her lips. For a woman in her 70s, she didn't look a day over 30. Her skin was soft, if a bit pale. She had a bit of a baby face and sultry eyes. Her hair was pitch black, although I'd caught hints of white at her roots before, so I knew she'd dyed it. She wore a red blouse with a black skirt that accented her heart-shaped rear just perfectly. It was fine for a woman her age.
"That's awfully kind of you," I said, and picked up both wine glasses.
I brought them over to her mahogany desk. That desk was the one thing in that office I was looking to keep after the job was done. Her laptop was closed, and I saw one of those old books open in its place. I couldn't read the text, but there were pictures of strange creatures in there. A white wolf, a bird with no features, some sort of jellyfish, and that creepy centipede thing.
"Do you like it?"
she asked when she caught me looking at the book.
"It just came in today. I thought it would make a nice addition to my collection. I just haven't decided where to put it yet. Office, home, or library. Decisions, decisions."
Uh,
What exactly is it? I asked.
An old Sumerian text. Well, a copy of an old Sumerian text. The book itself is probably from the 17th century. It details the beliefs of a culture who existed some time before the rise of summer. There's not much left of them, I'm afraid. It's a shame. Anyway, these people worshipped some very peculiar gods. Some people believe that they are the earliest known mentioned deities in history.
I see. I wasn't all that interested in what she had to say. More centipedes, I guess.
The centipede is often used to depict the ancient god of death and destruction, Sha'al,
Kennard said.
Of all the ancient gods, Sha'al is the one I'm the most fascinated by.
Well, that's great. Should we move this to the boardroom, or...
Here is fine, Kennard said,
without looking up at me. She admired the book for a moment longer before closing it and sitting down.
I don't imagine this will be a long meeting. You'd have brought more if it were.
I frowned, but didn't sit down. Kennard looked up at me expectantly. I could see the slightest hint of red in her dark eyes. Right, I muttered. Now that I was right there, looking at her, pulling out my gun seemed harder. I've never really killed anyone before. This all seemed so much easier in my head. That wry, condescending smile appeared on Kennard's lips again. She picked up her wine and took a sip.
Cold feet, she teased. Take your time. I've got all night.
Normally, that would have just made me angrier. At that moment, though, anger was what I needed. Oh, the hell with it. I pulled the gun from my jacket and aimed it at her head. I'm sick of your crap. I expected her to scream. I expected that smug demeanor of hers to crack in the face of a gun. Instead, she looked at me, dead in the eyes, and laughed.
Oh, wow. So it's that kind of meeting, hmm?
She asked. Don't you patronize me, I snapped.
Please, by all means, shoot me. See where that gets you.
Not even an ounce of fear. She either truly didn't care, or she didn't think that I'd do it. Oh, what if I was on camera? I caught myself scanning the corners of the room, looking for some hints of whatever ace she had in the hole. I didn't see anything, but I felt it. The gun grew hot in my hand. I cried out and let it go. But it didn't hit the ground. It just burned away, disintegrated into embers that quickly fizzled out into nothing. Primrose regarded me with quiet boredom before knocking back the rest of her wine and standing up again.
Did you really think you were just going to walk in here and shoot me?
She asked.
It's been a while since anyone's tried to murder me. But for Christ's sake, at least put some effort into it. I really thought better of you, Brad.
She sighed and smoothed back her hair.
Well, since it was such a paltry murder attempt, I suppose I can let you off with a warning this time. Tell you what, you make it out of this building alive, and you'll keep your job. Fail, and, well, she shrugged. You get the idea.
Alive? I took a step back, my eyes wide as I stared at the impossible woman before me.
Alive, she repeated. And just to be fair, I'll give you a head start. But after that...
She held up her left hand and I watched it change. her smooth, ivory skin grew hard and chitinous. Her fingers morphed into talons. In the span of a few moments, her hand had turned into some sort of insectoid claw. She flexed her fingers and fixed me in a knowing gaze. Five. I just stared at the claw, then back at her. Four. The fact that she was counting finally hit me. I stumbled backwards, running for the door of her office.
Three.
I stumbled into the hallway of tables leading into the waiting room where Miss Crowley had been. The glass door was closed, and I could see Crowley herself beyond it. She was leaning on the far wall, smoking a cigarette. She looked up when I came into view, her expression utterly disinterested.
Two.
I pounded on the glass hard enough to make it shake. Crowley just took a drag of her cigarette. She watched me, but she didn't help. Of course she didn't. She was probably in on this, whatever the hell this was.
One.
I need to move. I need to move right now. I glanced down the hallway in the other direction. That was Kennard's private bedroom. Maybe I could hide in there, or maybe I could bring a chair back and smash that stupid glass wall.
Run.
Primrose Kennard's voice echoed through the hallway, and I obeyed her single command. I took off at a sprint down towards the boardroom, panting the entire time. Looking back, I could see her at the end of the hallway, grinning viciously from ear to ear as she advanced on me. She didn't run, although she could have. She walked at a brisk pace, eyes fixated on me and never moving. It was too far to tell, but I was sure her mouth seemed wider than before. I just kept running, throwing open the door to her boardroom. There were several rolling chairs nearby. I just needed to get one past her so I could smash that door. Or maybe I could hide under the conference table. Both ideas seemed stupider the more I thought about them. I didn't think that there was a chance in hell that I'd get past Kennard in the hallway without her ripping me in two. And she'd have to be blind not to see me under the table. I could see her through the windows of the boardroom. I half expected her to lunge at me through the glass. But she opted to use the door instead. Of course she did. I was almost cornered.
Bad call, Brad.
She cooed as she stepped inside.
Where are you going to go now?
On instinct, I picked up one of the boardroom chairs and hurled it at her. It soared through the air before burning away as if it had never existed.
I like that energy, she said. Good attempt. Now it's my turn.
She lunged for me, launching herself across the room and over the table faster than any normal human ever could have. I don't know how she missed me, but she only barely did. Her claw tore into the drywall and left deep gashes in it. Her head whirled around to fix me in a vicious glare. Her eyes looked black now, with red sclera. Her psychotic grin split her head in two, revealing rows of monstrous teeth. She cackled like an absolute madwoman as I tripped over myself, running from her. I rounded the table and ran for the door. I don't know how I made it this time.
Keep running, Brad. It's more fun when you run.
Looking back, I could see her climbing back onto the table. I could see long, insectoid legs coming off of her body. Centipede legs. I could see them jutting out of her back. I knew she was changing, but I didn't want to see just what she was becoming. I just ran past her private gym and kitchen. I could hear Chitlin scraping against the floors. Where the hell was I going to go? How was I even going to get away from something like her? Something that wasn't even human? Then it hit me. The fire exit. Each floor had at least two or three fire exits that led to a stairwell. One by the elevator and one on the opposite side of the building. There had to be one in Kennard's office, too. I was sure there legally had to be one. But where? In my mind, I struggled to map out the place. Fire exits are something you tend to block out of your mind. You don't think of them until you need them. I recalled seeing an exit in her break room, which was through her kitchen. If she hadn't caught up to me yet, maybe I could double back. I turned and ran for the kitchen. I forced the door open and pushed myself inside.
There you are.
Kennard's voice rang out from behind me, louder than it had ever been before. As I escaped into her break room, I could see something pushing through the kitchen door after me. It had the torso of Primrose Kennard, with her perfect ivory skin and red blouse. But everything from the waist down was shiny chitin and pulsating bug meat. Her burning red eyes were fixated on me as she rushed forward with countless spindly legs. All I could do was scream as I ran for the fire exit. I burst through the door and into the cold concrete stairwell. I didn't pause for a second before I began rushing down the stairs.
Bradley,
I heard Kennard call, followed by her own cruel laughter. I could hear her body against the concrete, and I was certain that I was dead. I kept running, though, flying down the stairs as fast as I could. I fell down one flight and felt my nose break as I slammed into the concrete. My mouth was filled with my own blood, but the scraping sound of Primrose Kennard rushing down the stairs after me got me up on my feet again. I didn't want to know what those claws would feel like as they tore into my flesh. I didn't want to die, and not like this. It felt like it took hours to get down those stairs, and when I finally reached the bottom, I could have cried tears of joy. I threw the door open and stumbled out into the parking lot, my lungs and muscles burning. I hadn't run so fast in years. As the cool evening air embraced me, my body finally gave out. I hit the ground hard, shaking and bleeding. Desperate, I looked back towards the door I'd come out of, experiencing some new horror to be watching me, or worse, bearing down on me. Instead, I just saw Kennard. No claws, no glowing red eyes, no centipede body. Just Primrose Kennard, as I knew her, grinning from ear to ear. We stared at each other, me a sobbing mess, and her pristine and smug.
Well, that was fun. I'll see you tomorrow, Brad,
she said.
And I really hope that you have a proposal for American expansion of our business for me by the end of the week. You really shouldn't have gotten my hopes up about that. Good night.
With that, she turned around and closed the door behind her. I sat alone in the parking lot, still a mess. It was a few minutes before I had the strength to pick myself up and get into my car to go home. I wasn't sure what to tell my wife about what happened. She'd probably have given me grief for not being able to go through with it, but she didn't see what I saw. She didn't see what the real Primrose Kennard looked like. If Primrose Kennard is even that thing's real name. For all I know, it's Sha'al. Turns out, I didn't need to explain anything to my wife, though. Her car was in the driveway when I finally made it back home, but she wasn't in bed. Even when I called out for her, I was greeted with nothing but silence. Well, silence and a missed call on my cell phone with a voicemail from Kennard. It took me a while to work up the nerve to listen to what she had to say, but I couldn't handle not knowing either.
Hey, Brad. Hope you made it home all right, and I hope there's no hard feelings between us. That said, you really didn't think I'd let you get off scot-free after what you did you?
Thank you. COTA just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your COTA fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with COTA. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.